seated. In our gospel text this morning, you can see, you can feel the scene unfolding. Drip, drip, drip. The Jordan River water slowly trickling off our Lord's wet head. The hot wilderness sand clinging to his damp feet as he walked. Behind him, the famous river snaked along. Before him, the ancient serpent lay in wait. Still drenched in baptismal water, Jesus marched into the desert of temptation. Heaven and hell were about to exchange blows. The scene is palpable, almost like coming out of a movie. I can imagine in the celestial realm, you probably could hear a pin drop. You're tempted to view the fight as a spectator, to cheer for your big brother who is about to blacken the eye of the bully from hell. But you're not a fan sitting in the stands, a mere spectator. No, you are in Christ. In Jesus, humanity goes toe-to-toe with the heavyweight champion of hell. When this one man enters the ring with the tempter, all men step in with him. Just as in Adam, all humanity fell through temptation into sin and death, so in Christ, all humanity will rise through obedience into righteousness and life. You are not in the audience. You are in the desert, for you are in Christ. Do you feel the heat beating down on you? Do you feel the hunger growing inside of you? It's been 40 days without food. The devil had heard the father's sermon at the baptism of his son. He watched him fast. He saw him hunger. So he devised a plan of attack. The gospel writers record that the tempter came in to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Do you hear what he suggested? The devil is saying, if it is true what that voice from the clouds said, then why has he abandoned you to die? To die of starvation? Why is he depriving you of the necessities of life? Satan, hungry for a quick victory, has swung his fist at the empty stomach of our Lord. But no more had the punch begun before it was blocked. Not by human strength, not by willpower, not by argumentation, but by the word of God. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word that had proceeded from the mouth of God was, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now bear in mind, the temptation was not simply to turn rocks into food. Satan lured Jesus to turn from the trustworthy words of his father to the fickle feelings of the human heart. But instead of turning stones into bread, Christ stuffed the stone of his father's word into the devil's open, tempting mouth. Has the same satanic mouth dropped doubting thoughts into your suffering heart? That your baptism, like our baptism this morning, your Father said, "You are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." But does it always seem so? When the bills pile up, have you wondered what use is the Father's rich grace if you have not money to pay what you owe? If you are so loved by him, why did he allow you to be injured? Why did he allow you to become ill, to spend hour upon hour in pain and misery? If God is good, why is my life at times so bad? So goes the temptation to despair. But as it was with Jesus, so it is with you. Satan is luring you to turn away from the trustworthy words of your Father to the fickle feelings of your own human heart. Do not trust yourself. Trust your Father. If he sent his own beloved Son to the cross, do not pretend that he will spare you crosses, sufferings, and pain. But behind these masks of suffering is the face of your beloved Father. The Lord disciplines those he loves, we're told in Hebrews 12. In love, he is bringing you cross by cross, suffering by suffering, to the glory of the resurrection. Having failed in his initial attack, you can see Satan circling his opponent, planning his next attack. Matthew records it this way. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Is the devil simply trying to break the Lord's neck? No. He's far more sinister than that. He's saying, you claim that you are the beloved Son of God, in whom God is well pleased. If that is so, if your Father loves you so much and you are so pleasing to him, then I suppose he will do anything to protect you. Throw yourself down from the temple. He has even said he will protect you with his angels. You rely on his word, don't you? Take him at his word and fly, O wingless Son of God. The second temptation is one of presumption. It is written, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And again, we read in 2 Corinthians, we live by faith, not by sight. This temptation of the devil is to abandon faith and live by human sight. It completely does away with the cross in the Christian life and substitutes for it a theology of glory. That is an arrogant, faithless presumption that because we are saved, God will always shower us with blessings and miracles. Having been defeated in the first two rounds, Satan stepped forward for one final climactic attack. In the first temptation, the devil had adversity and pain in the face of Jesus. You could think of it as the stick and carrot analogy. But here, Satan waves the carrot of prosperity and delight before him. The devil knew that Jesus knew. The devil knew that Jesus knew what sufferings awaited for him as he turns to Jerusalem. So he said, because you are God's son, You deserve better than this miserable life. You deserve riches. You deserve honor. You deserve glory. I can give that to you. Yes, all of that and more, if only you will get on your knees and worship me. But our Lord came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for a ransom for many, a ransom for you and me. And if he came not to be served, certainly he came not to pursue wealth, fame, and glory. He came to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and in doing so, to fulfill the law for you and me. So he said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Do you see what the Lord has done in his conquest of Satan with all his temptations? He has reversed the fall of the first man and has brought forward a new humanity, with himself being a new Adam, who bears in his own body the source of all true and lasting life. What you could not do, Jesus Christ has done for you. The tempter whom you could never defeat on your own, Jesus Christ has defeated for you. The new beginning that you could never create, Jesus the Christ has created for you. In the plush Garden of Eden, the first Adam was defeated by the ancient serpent. But in the wasteland of the Judean wilderness, Jesus fought off the temptations of the evil one. Every fiery arrow shot from Satan's bow was doused in the water of the Word. Heaven and hell stood toe to toe, and hell was left laying on the ground. The Lord Jesus fought this battle for you. His victory over the devil is your victory as well. For all that Christ accomplished has been reconciled to you as your very own. When you fall prey to the temptations of Satan, flee to the one who defeated Satan. Those who are in Christ Jesus cannot be harmed by the enticements of evil. As in Adam you died in sin, so in the obedient Christ you live. So today, repent and return to him. Leave the old Adam with his death and come to the new Adam with all his life. Like this morning, he will receive you and embrace you as his own. He who was tempted for you is never tempted to turn you away. His baptism is your baptism. His conquering of sin is your conquering of sin. His crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension are yours today in Christ Jesus. What belongs to the head belongs to the body, and you are the body of Christ, living members of that man who is also God, the one in whom you have the life of the Father. And as we pray, Holy Father, lead us not into temptation, but lead us into the one who conquered the tempter for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds this morning in Christ Jesus. Amen.